We're going to read some scripture together. We're turning to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter 23, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. And we do know that God will bless to our hearts this reading of his own precious word. Just a moment of prayer, please, as we turn to the word of God. Father in heaven, we thank thee for, again, the lovely hymns that we've been singing together. Our hearts have been lifted heavenward tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the messages of the lovely hymns of Jesus and his love. We thank you, Lord, for the tithes, for the offerings given to the storehouse, and we pray, Lord, you'll use it for your glory. But Father, we thank you for your word that we've read together, the precious word of God that forever is settled in heaven. And now, Lord, in these few remaining moments of our time together, we pray that you'll just come and close us into thyself. Lord, help us just to center our attractions and center our affections upon the lovely man of Calvary. For we ask it in his name, and we ask it for his sake. Amen and amen. I want this evening, for the next, say, 20 minutes or so, to come with me on a little journey. Come with me on a little visit. There's no cost. You don't need to leave your seat or take a step physically. But I want you to come into my company, but especially into the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tonight want to bring you to the cross. The greatest journeys in life are not physical journeys. The greatest journeys in life, you will find, are spiritual journeys. In the Gospel of Luke and in the chapter 15, we read that great story of the prodigal, a man who made three tremendous journeys. Of course, we know he made the long physical journey into the far country. And there he went through his inheritance with riotous living. And then at the end of it all, he made the long physical journey back to his father and to the father's house. But in between, he makes the longest journey of his life. He doesn't move a muscle. I can almost picture him sitting amongst the swine. As he's sitting, he's pondering, he's thinking. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, He came to Himself. He came to Himself. The longest journey He ever took in His life. And that's the sort of journey that I want you and I to take this evening. The hymn writer penned it well when he penned these lovely words. He said, I've never traveled far around the world, and I've never seen the many sights and thrills unfurled, but I have taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain, there my Savior to see. So tonight, I want you to come with me, and I want you to stand under the shadow of the cross. And as we do so, I want us to consider these thoughts. First of all, humanity was divided at Calvary. Humanity was divided at Calvary. There's something we must grasp at the very commencement of my preaching tonight. And it's this. The Lord Jesus Christ divides people. I know for some it's not a very pleasant thought, but it's scriptural, it is biblical. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ comes into a family, and He divides that family. He comes into a home, and He divides that home. The Savior comes into a congregation, and He divides that congregation. He comes into a town, He comes into a village, He comes into a city, and He divides that town, that village, that city. So when we get to Calvary, we must discover this fact, that there is a dividing line that runs from the center cross. Malefactors one on the right hand, malefactors one on the left, and Christ, the divider, is in the middle. Now, you know that the cross has been a great symbol for many years in architecture. It's ornamental. It is a familiar feature of the Christian faith. And so many people, and so often when we think of Calvary, we think of Christ on the cross. But when we come to Calvary, we must always remember this fact. There are three crosses at Calvary. We can never, never ignore this scriptural truth. There are three crosses at Calvary, and Christ divides men physically, as He did that day. One on the right hand, and one on the left. But my dear friends, this evening, what I want you to know is this. There is spiritual division at Calvary. You remember those crosses, those men that hung upon the crosses. And as you gaze at the three crosses, you will see just how divisive Calvary really is. It tells us there that there's a man, and he's coming to the end of life's journey. And he looks at the Savior, and all he can think about is himself and getting down from the cross. And he rails upon the Lord, if you're really who you say you are, you'll save yourself and you'll save me. He can only think of his own skin. Coming to his dying breath, and all he can still think about was self. Friends, on the other side, there's one man. And the very jaws of hell are opening to receive him. But in an instant, that man realizes that he's a sinner, he's condemned, and he's unclean. And he realizes that the man on the center cross is not just a man, but he's the God-man. And that dear man that day, in his very last breaths almost, he cried to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that day, perhaps a very, very short time after he cried to the Lord, he was in that place where the Lord had promised he would be. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so, friends, when we come to the crosses of Calvary, we have to realize that humanity is always divided into two categories. There are those who are saved, and there are those who are perishing. The Apostle Paul penned it well when he said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so as we sit together tonight in this congregation, in this service, can I ask you a very personal and a very perhaps pertinent question? On which side of this line are you standing tonight? Are you standing on the side with that man who cried to the Lord for mercy and was saved? Are you saved tonight? That's the simplicity of it. Or perhaps after all these years of maybe even listening to gospel preaching, you're still standing on the same side of the poor man who was lost. Calvary divides humanity. You know, the little chorus pens it well and said, three crosses standing side by side, oft broken law a sign, two for their own transgressions died, but the middle one was for mine. Dear friend, tonight, that dividing line that runs from the center cross runs right down through the years of time, down through our province, down through this wee town, right through this church tonight, and perhaps even through families. Because humanity is divided by Calvary. But I want you to see, secondly, that human hearts were exposed at Calvary. And they're not a pretty sight. Human hearts are exposed at Calvary. Look what it says in the verse 35, verse 36. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Can I say that when we visit Calvary, and when we stand under the shadow of the cross, we can never be proud of ourselves. We cannot be pleased with ourselves. And we can never be satisfied with ourselves. And if you're here tonight and you're saying perhaps, well, Joe, all this Calvary business really doesn't mean an awful lot to me. You see, I was brought up in a good family. I had good parents. I had a good home. I was taught in Sunday school. I went to church. I'd done all of these things. If that's your argument tonight, or maybe there's someone here and you've just listened to it for too long. You've heard it too many times. If that's your argument tonight, it only proves to me one thing. That you've never been to Calvary. Because you will never, never, never go to Calvary and be proud of yourself. Because at Calvary, God lets us see what the human heart is really like. And it's not a pretty sight. There's cruelty at Calvary, such as was never witnessed before. And there's mocking at Calvary, such as was never witnessed before. And there's hostility at Calvary, such as never was seen before. And there's cruelty at Calvary, such as never was witnessed before. And that's what it's like, dear friends, when we stand at Calvary. Suddenly we see that our hearts are deceitful and they're desperately wicked. And when we come to Calvary, and when the light of Calvary shines into our hearts, we will realize that we are sinners, and we are condemned, and we are unclean. Our Savior died among people, among men who hated Him. Hated Him. And there were some very respectable men among them. There were men who walked the streets in their long robes, and the people looked up to them. They could expound the law, but when they stood at Calvary that day, God revealed the hatred that was in their hearts. If you read Psalm 22, that psalm that was written centuries before this event, it speaks of bulls, and it speaks of lions, and it speaks of dogs. What he was saying was this, that day at Calvary, people were like animals. They were like animals, the way they treated our Savior. And that's what it's like, dear friend, at Calvary. When the light of Calvary shines into our hearts, we see our sinfulness before a holy God. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? Has the light of Calvary revealed to you that you are a sinner? Have you ever cried out to God, "Oh God, I'm a sinner"? Calvary exposes the human heart. Isaac Watt, oh, that great hymn writer, penned the lovely words, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Friends, when we stand at Calvary, we've nothing to be proud of. Because Calvary divides humanity, and Calvary exposes the hearts. But again, when we come to Calvary, and according to verses 44 and 45, thank God, Calvary does something very wonderful. Calvary answers God's demand for justice for you and for me. God demanded justice. Look what it says in verses 44. "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." There was darkness at Calvary. Not an accidental darkness. It wasn't a natural darkness, because it was about the sixth hour, between the sixth and the ninth hour, the middle part of the day. So it could not have been a natural darkness. It was a supernatural darkness. You see, friends, God made Calvary dark. God made Calvary dark. You'll say, why? Well, things happened at Calvary that I cannot explain. And things happened at Calvary that you and I cannot understand. But what happened at Calvary basically was this, that on that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He became answerable for my sins and for your sins. And He bore the penalty for our sins, and He became our substitute, and He who was holy, and He who was righteous, and He who was innocent, He took our place, and He took our punishment, and when that happened, God made Calvary dark. God would not allow us to see what went on at Calvary. But God says, you can believe it. You can believe it. And know that when the Son of God died on that cruel cross, He took our place, and His darkness was our darkness. And His punishment was our punishment. And His pain was our pain. And His penalty was our penalty. And if you will believe that tonight, dear friends, you can be made right in the sight of a holy God. We can go to Calvary and we can see that humanity is divided there. And we can go to Calvary and we can see that hearts are exposed there. But when you go to Calvary, there's something that you must do. You must confess, Lord Jesus, what you did there, you did it for me. You did it for me. I'm sure some of you know Pastor Gordon Cardwell. I know him for a long time. He was the Baptist pastor in Lisburn. Scottish man, for a long number of years. Great preacher of the gospel. He said in his younger days, they used to go around the factories and they were allowed in to speak to some of the people at the lunch hour. And he said he used to make his way to the offices. He loved to get to the respectable people he talked about. But he said one day he got into conversation with a lady in the office. And he said to her, "Do you believe that Jesus died for you?" She says, "I believe that Jesus died for everyone." He says, "But do you believe that Jesus died for you?" She says, "I believe that he died for everyone." But he says, I cornered her. I said, "But listen, do you believe that Jesus died for you?" And he said, she near took the door of the hinges as she went out. And the last words were, "I believe that Jesus died for everyone." You know, dear friends, until you get to the stage where you said, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me," that's when you'll be saved. The hymn writer says, "Jesus paid it all, and all to him, not we owe, all to him I owe." Thank God, what a difference it makes when you realize that what happened at Calvary was for you, and it was for me. Calvary answers God's demand for justice. And then when we come to the end of our short pilgrimage to Calvary, I want you to discover something very wonderful. That Calvary opens heaven for us. Calvary opened heaven for us. It says there on the verse 45, "And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." You see, Calvary caused something else to happen that day. A large, huge curtain was hanging in the temple. So huge, so heavy, we're told that it took a great number of priests to hang it on its hooks. A great, thick, vast curtain. And what happened that day at Calvary, that curtain was split in two. From the top to the bottom. And thank God a way into the presence of God was opened up for mankind. When Christ cried, "It is finished, my work is completed," he said, people who have been shut out of God's presence for centuries past and would have been for centuries to come may now enter into God's presence through the way that I have opened up for them at Calvary. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And there's a door that's opened that all may go in. It's Calvary's cross. That's where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you want to be in heaven? You ask the drunk man that on a Saturday night, and the drunk man will tell you, yes, he wants to be in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But not everybody wants to go the Calvary way. And if you ever want to be in heaven, if you ever want to be in that land that's fairer than day, if you ever want to meet perhaps the loved ones who have gone away on before, you will have to come to the cross. And when you come to the cross, thank God the way of the cross leads home. You know, tonight I have struggled to paint a picture and to bring you to that wonderful place as far as we are concerned. And I wonder, as a Christian, have you been blessed at Calvary? As I said earlier on, sometimes as Christians, when we come to the preaching of the gospel, we're saved, we're satisfied, so just preach away to the unsaved, and you sit back and you're relaxed. But thank God, dear Christian, every time we come to the cross, we should be thrilled. Every time we visit Calvary, it should bring a joy to our hearts. And again, to you that's not saved, and you have made your mind up, I will find another way. Well, I have news for you. You will not. You will never, never be in heaven. Hymn writer said, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. As I close tonight, dear friends, can I ask you this question once more? On which side of the dividing line are you standing this evening? I'm glad, as far as I'm concerned, and my past is concerned, I'm not worried about my past. It wasn't good, because Calvary covers it all. And I trust that tonight you will find your way to the cross, and from there the road to heaven begins at the foot of the cross. Trust that the Lord will bless you and bless His word to our hearts.